Chapter 5. Submarine Mess, Bruges. It is midnight, as I write in my room at the top of the house. The low rumble of the guns from the southwest vibrates faintly through the open window. It is warm for the time of year, and I have flung back the curtains, and risked the light shining. We spent the night at Zeebrugge, and came up to the docks here next day. We shall probably be in for a week, and I am on 4 days extended absence. I can go where I like in the neighborhood, provided I am handy to a telephone. I rang Zoe. A man's voice answered. For a moment I was dumbfounded. It was the colonel. Who is that? Colonel Stein. I am speaking on behalf of Lieutenant von Schenk. Ah, yes. He met Madame Stein at dinner some days ago, and she kindly asked him to call. He has asked me to ring up and inquire when it would be convenient, as he would like to meet you, sir, as well. He has been unable to ring up himself, as he was sent away from Bruges on duty early this morning. Your friend had better call tomorrow then, for I leave tomorrow evening for the Somme front. Will you tell him? I cursed the fates that made it advisable to keep clear of number 10, Kafelstrasse for 36 hours. Next day I rang again to tell the colonel that Lieutenant Schenk had been detained, but all this camouflage was unnecessary, as she came to the phone. I kissed at the silvery laughter in my ear. Tomorrow, starting at 10:30, we motor to the Forest of Meaton, taking our lunch and tea with us. Pray the weather holds. Tonight U-boat 40 has been lost. She is 10 days overdue, and was operating off Havre, as he has made no signal for a fortnight. It is night, the guns rumble on the same dismal tones, it is raining now, it must be getting bad up at the front. Except for the rain, it might have been last night. Today in the forest by Rye Sleet I found I loved Zoe, loved her as I have never yet loved woman, loved her with my soul, and all that is me. The day was fine when we started, an hour's run took us to the forest. We left the car at an inn, and wandered down one of the glades. I carried the basket and we strolled on until we found a place deep in the heart of the forest. I have the sailor's love for woods, for their depths, their shadows, their mysteries, so vivid a contrast to the monotony of the sea, with the everlasting circle of the horizon, and the half bowl of the heavens above. The leaves had turned to gold and red and brown, the beaches still well covered, overhead we were tented with a russet canopy. It was ideal. An outcrop of rock formed a miniature Matterhorn in the forest, beneath its shelter, with the old trees as witnesses. We sat, and joked, and laughed, and made 20 attempts to light a fire. After lunch, Zoe asked me whether I would mind if she smoked. How many women in these days would think of doing that? After lunch, I asked her whether, now that the old colonel had gone to the Somme, whether that meant that she would be leaving Bruges. Queen Sabe, senior, the colonel has done 14 months' service on the salient alone, and is convinced he will end his career on that great burial ground. A curious shyness had taken hold of me with regard to Zoe. Fool! You are alone with her, you long to kiss her. You have kissed her, first at the dinner party, secondly when you said goodbye at her flat, yet today it was different. Then I was kissing a pretty woman, I was on the eve of a dangerous life. Today it was Zoe, the person I loved. I still longed to kiss her, but I wanted the unquestioned right to kiss her, as much as I wanted the kisses. I wanted her for my own, away from the colonel, and I determined to get her. She fell into a doze at my side. I was sitting slightly above her, smoking to keep the midges away, and as I looked down on her, a great tenderness for her filled me. She is desirable above all women. I am just over 6 feet, and she reaches to just above my shoulder. Her hair is thick and deep black, and lies low on her forehead. Her complexion is beyond compare, but her crowning glories are her eyes. I could lose my soul. Have lost it, if I have one, in the violet depths of those eyes. How I long for her to be mine, and yet, I cannot declare that she loves me. A thousand doubts arise. She was so quiet after tea, as we wandered back through the forests with the setting sun striking golden beams against the tree trunks. It is nearly 2 a.m. I must get some sleep. The guns rumble steadily in the southwest, and the sky is lit by their flashes. Probably about 10 days later, ATN. We leave tonight. I am distracted. I have seen her nearly every afternoon, though twice Alton has kept me in the boat in connection with some replacements of the battery. She is intensely musical. She plays beautifully on the piano, and we had long hours together playing Chopin and Beethoven. We also played some of Mussorgsky's duets, but I love her best when she plays Chopin, the composer of Love and Passion. We also played a lot of Debussy. We closed all the doors, and she played it 4 hours very softly. I forgot the war and all its horrors. The colonel writes from Thiepval, where the British pour out their blood like water. He writes interesting letters, and has had many narrow escapes, but seems to bear a charmed life. His letters are full of details. I wonder he gets them past the field censorship. She says he is so accustomed to writing official reports, he can't write an ordinary letter. She says he has asked her to keep them, with a view to forming a collection of letters written from the front, while the incidents are vivid in his mind. I suppose the old ass knows his own business. So the days passed pleasantly enough, and never by a gesture or word of mouth did she show that I was anything to her. I kissed her when I arrived, I kissed her when I left, each day was the same. She would put her arms round my neck, and look long and deeply into my eyes, then she would gently kiss my lips. Not an atom of emotion. Not a spark from beneath that diabolically calm exterior. She would chatter vivaciously enough, but as soon as I drew the conversation round to a personal line, she became more silent, and a faraway look came into those eyes. I don't even know how old she is, but I should guess 26. She simply arrived here about a year ago, as a singer, and met the colonel. Beyond that, all is mystery. This afternoon I went to say goodbye. After tea she played to me music of the modern Russian school, Arensky, Sibelius, and Polsuki. She played for an hour or so, then sat by the fire. We were silent for a long while, a thousand thoughts chased each other through my brain. When only her profile was visible against the glow of the logs, I spoke. I told her I had grown to love her, and that to me, she was life itself. She sat very still. When I had finished there was a long silence. I stroked her lovely black hair. At last she rose and walked across the room. She stood looking at the storm through the big bow windows. At length she returned to me, that as he had been crying. Poor Carl. I felt crushed. I longed to know more. The clock chimed 7. At 7:15 I had to be back on board the boat. At 7:10, with the memory of a light kiss on my lips, and her godspeed in my ears, I was in a taxi driving to the docks, in a blinding rainstorm. Diary of a U-boat commander.